T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
All right, so Miley Cyrus, we just heard. Lovely. We love Miley.
Slutty.
Why is she slutty?
I love a slutty.
I can't believe you're saying the word slutty.
I love it. I love her. I think she's living her sexual truth. I told you yesterday, I think she was way too young to get married and try to start a life. Mm-hmm. I think she needs to experience her sexual freedom. Listen, I met Lisa when I was 27, and mm-hmm. I always say this word to the youth. I would have preferred, I'm in love with Lisa, I'll always be with Lisa, but I always say, I wish I would have like sluttied out my like 20s all the way, and then maybe like 33, 34, been like, you're the one.
Got it.
Yeah.
Well, apparently, this is just a little insider tea. You know, Miley, that's the big speculation, that Miley Cyrus has left her husband for someone else, Brody Jenner's ex-wife, who happens to be named Caitlyn. So that being said, some guy online, Tiger Bob Destroyer of SJWs said, hashtag Miley Cyrus. I guess. Hashtag Miley Cyrus splitting and allegedly cheating on Liam with a woman confirms that you shouldn't date bi people. Not offensive, just true. Bi is greedy and never satisfied.
God.
Right. Ignorant. So then here comes Halsey coming in. Hey, Tiger Bob, doesn't surprise me that you're saying this and your page has you crying about Brie Larson too. Stop being afraid of women who aren't afraid to do what pleases them and do not and not other people. So Halsey to Miley Cyrus' defense. And if Miley ends up single a lot longer and Halsey's single, maybe they should.
Oh my God, that would be hot.
Or great music. One or the other.
Yeah.
Or both.
Listen, here's the thing, 2019, beware of the woman, honey, because we are going after our own. We are like, we don't need the men anymore. We know what to do.
Yeah, you don't need our opinion about your nails either.
Well,
so you're going to tell
the
listener.
We need the gay men. We need
let's
men.
Talk about the decision to
I
have.
I was just waiting all
that's
day
more of
yesterday.
A me color. This is
first
like
of all,
a.
Yeah. I'm so mad at you because I invited you to happy hour yesterday. I was so excited to show you all the things. I wanted to share many stories with you.
She's wearing fluorescent yellow nails. It's a not quite green.
Yeah, so I've been wanting to do this. I literally only do red nails. I have for years because it reminds me of like Marilyn Monroe, Sophia Loren.
But now we're living in the day and age where everyone's really mixing up their nails.
Yeah, they are. And I'm going to this pool party that I'm hosting on Saturday, a big lesbian pool party. So I said, what better time than to, if we're going to do this, let's go like
hot. It's appropriate. Yeah, yeah.
So I did them, but let me tell you something. I was at the gym. I'm doing 2 days right now because I'm just trying to get bikini ready.
Yeah.
So I was in the gym in the morning with red nails. Went to the gym in the afternoon, and one of the female trainers and her clients goes, weren't your nails red this morning?
I would have said no. I would have said no. Be like,
I said, first of all, stalker, yeah, they were. Secondly, mind your own business.
Let me tell you something. Nothing would bring me greater joy if you went to the gym one day with full blonde hair in the morning and brunette in the afternoon.
And been like...
And just, yeah, make them think, didn't she just... And then not say anything. No expectations.
Well, that's what they deserve for like peeping on me like that. Like, can I work out in peace? Thank you.
All right, maybe it's time for some news on peace. So, Michaela Gordon, what are people talking about?
All right, guys. Well, the Trump administration released a new regulation yesterday that could make it more difficult for immigrants to enter the U.S. legally. Now, the rules allow green card and visa applicants to be turned down if they have low incomes or little education and have used benefits such as most forms of Medicaid, food stamps, and housing vouchers. Now, acting U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services Director Ken Guccinelli says the new regulations encourage self-reliance and self-sufficiency for those seeking to come to or stray in the United States. Critics say the rules just put a chokehold on legal immigration for no reason. If you're an immigrant, he believes you have no place in this country. 2020 Democratic hopeful Beto O'Rourke tweeted about President Trump following the announcement. Immigrant advocates said the rule would also penalize hardworking immigrants who may need a small amount of government assistance to start out. New York's attorney general has already said she plans to sue the block rule. All right, guys, in other news, a friend who provided the Dayton, Ohio shooter with ammunition and tactile gear is facing federal firearm charges. Ethan Coley, 24, of Kettering, Ohio, admitted to the FBI that he'd purchased body armor, a 100-round double-draw magazine, and an upper receiver for an AR-15 for Connor Betts, who went on to kill 9 people this month in a Dayton entertainment district. Now, Coley also said in an interview that he had done hard drugs, marijuana, and LSD with Betts several times a week. Between 2014 and 2015, the local U.S. attorney made it clear that although all the terms Coley bought for Betts were used in the shooting, Coley did not know of the attack beforehand and did not intentionally help plan it. All right, guys, it's a heat wave. Forecasters are warning about continued sweltering and dangerous heat gripping a wide swath of the South and Midwest, where temperatures are climbing to over 100 degrees. Parts of 13 states were under heat advisories, from Texas, Louisiana, and Florida in the South to Missouri and Illinois in the Midwest. The National Weather Service reported, now, some of the most oppressive conditions were in Louisiana, Arkansas, Mississippi, and Oklahoma. More of the same is in store for Tuesday, when heat and humidity will make for dangerous heat indexes over a wide area. Now, these continuing high temperatures come just a few weeks after the U.S. was draped with a heat wave that left about 195 million people under an excessive heat watch or warning or a heat advisory, according to one report. All right, you guys, well, I want to remind you that if you do not get the opportunity to listen to us live, we are officially a podcast.
And she's singing.
I'm singing.
Did you have some like Ricola this morning?
I'm just in a good mood.
Good for you.
Thank you. It's these bright nails.
I'm telling you.
They've put a pep in my stuff.
That's right.
Thank you. Head on over to wearechannelq.com to download us as a podcast so you never miss a beat of the morning beat.
Speaking of really fun things to be talking about this hour, we're talking about Miley Cyrus. She's making a lot of headlines, right? But not only that, Donatella Versace is making news again.
She sure is, honey. And the fashion police are out for her. You will be outraged to find out what she's done in the fashion world, coming up next.
The Morning Beat with Jay and Michaela.
The new Channel Q.
Okay, so Coach Givenchy and Versace, or Versace, they're apologizing to Chinese customers for this controversial t-shirts that have been released. In fact, Donatella Versace herself offered a personal apology on her Instagram, saying that she never, quote, wanted to disrespect China's national sovereignty. Now, what did she do? Okay, it's a little muddy, so I'm going to try to unpack it the best I can. Now, the powerhouses of fashion, Coach, Givenchy, and Versace are now all apologizing to Chinese customers for selling t-shirts that cause citizens to call for a boycott. Because basically, the brands each had listed Hong Kong as a separate country. Now, Coach and Givenchy also listed Taiwan, a region whose sovereignty is claimed by mainland China, separately as a separate nation. So basically, what they did was, on these t-shirts, print them in a way that upset many people who happen to be, you know, from China, and they kind of realized the distinction. However, to Westerners, some people view, like, for instance, Taiwan claims to be a separate nation, but I believe you said mainland China covers them and believes that they're part of their sovereignty. So it's a little murky as to who sees what how. But the big realtors, why can't I say this word? Yes. The big clothing companies are now basically saying, apologizing, making a blank canvas statement. This is a little different than when, let's say, New Zealand was left off the maps at IKEA. Right? Remember, they were upset about that. This is also different, slightly different than Kim Kardashian releasing the kimono line as part of her Kim Kardashian West underwear. This is just
H&M when they released the monkey shirt.
This seems like through the filter of petting on who's seeing it. I mean, should she have apologized because, you know, part of the, you know, because it was done necessarily not intentionally?
Here's the thing. I just feel like, listen, as an actor, as an entertainer, as anybody in the business or not in the business, you're solely responsible for yourself and your decisions. And if you're going to step out into a world that's very fashion forward or moving forward towards the future, and we know that that's all about being politically correct and respecting
inclusive.
Where everybody comes from, that is your job. You cannot. The fact that Kim got that far
with the kimono line, I think so too.
I'm like, where were your people? But where were you? Like, do your own research.
There's a question about yes people. I feel like in companies like this, when I first read this story, I was wondering if Donatella Versace herself actually even saw these t-shirts? Like, do you think Donatella herself is, you know me, how many items are under the Versace umbrella? I doubt she's spending her time looking at the creative for the t-shirts.
Yes, but that's also your responsibility. If you're going to trust somebody to be your eyes, you right. need to make sure that they are making you look good, because it's going to come back on you.
100%.
And that means being educated. It's like, not to me, this just doesn't even make sense. I mean, with H&M, when they put out the monkeys and then the kids' t-shirts
and they advertised it with a little black boy, I think was the model wearing that specific t-shirt. It was like, let's not throw that far.
And whether you believe in cancel culture or not, it is in fact a thing. So if you do not want your brand to suffer, you're going to need to take all the extra precautions.
I will say, when you have big brands like this that are quite international, Coach, Givenchy, these are high-end realtors. Why can't I say that word? Here's a great example. In Las Vegas, which you know you've performed there for years, in every major casino or any major big city like that, there's a Rodeo Drive. There's these massive spaces for international high-end stores. When I was in the Philippines, Manila, very, very rich and very, very poor. Yet they had their own version of Rodeo Drive with these really high-end shots. These high-end shots are in every little nook and cranny in some of the biggest metropolises all over the world.
Right.
That being said, if you intend to sell to locals, you cannot misrepresent how they see their world.
Well, also, speaking of Vegas, oddly enough, do you remember years ago when the MGM had built the hotel in a way that the Asian community was like, no way, we're not walking through that tiger's mouth. Like,
it was very like Ming's, like, yeah, Chinese. It was very like kind of campy. Well, watching Glow now, which is streaming live on Netflix at the moment, this brand new season, they actually tackle the kind of innate racism that existed, and specifically the Asian decor in one of the scenes. And they're like, literally the Asian girl's like, I'm literally walking through a campy fantasy white man's version of how they see me, and it doesn't help with acceptance or me moving forward or my people that look like me achieving acceptance if we become the punchline of a joke.
Yeah, it is interesting because this, my best friend's Korean, but he's really like, his mother's like very, very, very Korean. And she will say too, like, although so many of my
words, she's like really traditional.
Very traditional.
Got it.
Also, we have to be very careful with our jokes because she does not find them funny.
But he's very, very funny. So does he even joke around with mom?
He does, but he knows the limit.
Got it.
Because it's very strict. And he grew up in a strict household. And the thing is, I think that unfortunately the Asian community is somebody that still is not getting a lot of attention. They are still being...
The visibility is so low.
Yeah.
I mean, for like, even honestly, we had, you know, Crazy Rich Asians, and Constance Wu was having a moment. But, you know, she represents millions and millions of people.
First,
yeah.
Talk about that, because that's a really big deal. Over J-Lo,
J-Lo produced Hustlers, but the role, Constance Wu, is the star of this new movie, Hustlers. And that's, for an Asian-American actress, that is one more step toward visibility. And I'm sure that if she ever partnered with companies like Versace or Coach or Givenchy, if Constance Wu did an ad campaign for them, she would be one of the first people that would have to speak to this kind of a controversy.
Yeah, well, listen, going back, I think it's just the responsibility of the brands to make sure that they, if this is the decision that you're going to make, you got to be very, very careful.
Yeah. Don't mean to scare you, but want to let you know, this little STD warning happening right now.
Yeah.
There's a little outbreak in the U.S.
There's a big outbreak happening, and people are showing signs that it's happening to them, and we want to warn you.
I know, but also with that warning, there's also actually some really positive news in the STD world.
Yeah.
So keeping yourself safe, being a responsible adult, we've got your tips for that.
Stick around with a new Channel Q.
The Morning Beat with Jay Rodriguez and Michaela Gordon.
All right, every now and again, I've got to put on my Gunkle Jay hat and give a little life lesson to the kids.
Gunkle.
So buckle up, children. It's about to get very adult up in here. I just want to tell you that there's a little bit of a hepatitis A outbreak. Now, the best way to stop this outbreak is it's preventable right now with the vaccine. In the past 3 years, there have been over 23,000 publicly reported cases of Hep A across 29 states. And that is according to the Center for Disease Control and Prevention. Now, by the way, the CDC notes that there were fewer than 1,400 reported cases of this in 2015, which suggests that basically the outbreak began somewhere in 2016. Now, the states with the highest rates are Florida, Kentucky, Tennessee, Ohio, and West Virginia.
What are they doing over there?
I don't know, but it spread across the South and the Midwest. In fact, earlier this month, Florida Surgeon General Dr. Scott Rivkes issued a public health emergency over Hep A, which caused over 1,800 hospitalizations in the Sunshine State alone. Now, the reason why I bring this up is because gay and bisexual men are disproportionately at high risk for contracting Hep A. The disease is contagious, typically spread through contact with small amounts of stool or something. So that being said, Hep A targets the liver. So it can cause jaundice, which is like the yellowing of the skin. And it's rarely fatal. So
it's awful,
but
though.
But better to get yourself vaccinated or at least have a conversation with your doctor. Aren't you glad you don't have to worry about these things?
I'm so happy. Let me tell you something. I thought I was having like liver issues the other day. I got a probiotic. Everything went fine. I was like back to normal. I can imagine having some sort of issue like this. It's difficult to take care of.
I have a lot of friends who are in long-term committed monogamous, so they think, relationships. My life has taught me that you should still, what's it going to kill you to go to the doctor and get a full STD panel even when you're in monogamous committed relationships?
Here's the thing. I'm not. I don't have to. Lisa is literally like so lazy. She would never cheat on me. It just would never happen. It's not it's not because I'm so hot and great. It's
but
just
if you
that
had,
she wouldn't take the
if
time.
You had,
she just doesn't have time.
But
to
if
take
you
the
had
time.
Great health insurance and your doctor's like, I'm doing your blood work anyway.
I would no, if it's already happening,
I just feel like if you're
fine.
A woman and you're in a committed monogamous relationship, how many people do we know who've had boyfriends or husbands cheat on them once or twice, do something on the side, not say anything, and years later...
No, it's awful.
It's terrible.
Listen, if the opportunity came, but I've never brought... For me, I'm probably never going to seek it out just because I've been with Lisa for 4 years.
But for lesbians, do you guys have... For instance, for gay men, we're so on high alert for STDs that it's a constant conversation. Do you guys, and within the lesbian community, just even just have to discuss or worry about STD?
Honestly, it's not. It's just not a conversation that we have very often. Yeah. I think that we talk about a conversation that I've had in the past is like if you have like I don't know herpes on your finger, you know how you can do that. Like, and then as a lesbian, it could get a little dangerous and dangerous territory.
You have
to watch what's like. Even if you are in a committed relationship,
well, listen, Gunkle J wants you to know.
Gunkle J,
to make sure that you, if you are, perhaps a gay male or bisexual male or someone identifies as male having sex with men, maybe you want to go have this conversation with your doctor because there is a vaccine and we are having a bit of an outbreak. But in good news, there's a chlamydia vaccine that's actually showing signs of success. Right now, there's no vaccine for chlamydia. There's just like you get treatment after, and because there are 131 million new cases around the world, it's actually the most common STI. So this would be one step closer to possibly getting another vaccine. And I know people get iffy about vaccines, but I would literally
God,
be
that's
like,
a whole
give
another
me all
conversation.
The, give me all the vaccines.
I kind of like this segment, Gunkle J. Maybe you should school the children.
Well, listen, these are tough conversations and not the most pleasant ones to have, but we would be irresponsible to be hosting a morning show on an LGBTQ+ station and not talk about the elephant in the room. Well, but now that it's been talked about, I'm happy to go back to pop culture and political news.
I'm happy to go back to Magnums.
Oh, gosh. Does that mean you're going to start dating men again?
It means I'm definitely going to be shopping the ice cream aisle today at Bristol Farms.
That kind of Magnum, got it.
Stick around, we have a story about that coming up next.
The Morning Beat with Jay and Michaela. The new Channel Q.
Yesterday we were talking about getting together and perhaps having a little dinner and, you know, just kind of mapping out.
Let me tell you something. Yeah. I have never, Poppy has never said no to dinner and drinks.
Yeah.
I said, do you want to have dinner and drinks? He said, all right, text me back. No, let's reschedule.
Fun fact, I think I was like, I think I had a stomach thing yesterday.
You did? Like
all
what
day.
Kind?
Because when we literally had, you know, a light day yesterday, left at 10, whatever. I got home and I was like, ooh, I really don't feel, I just had like a nap and I tried to power through my day. I even missed my gym session by accident. I thought it was at 3 and he was like, no, it's 1 now these days. I was like, oh, well, great.
Here's the thing though. Do you get... like stomach issues from stress, or do you think it was like something going around?
No, I'd eaten, yeah,
like
I'd
something,
eaten something
nasty.
Yeah, it was that kind of vibe because it was definitely like a visceral. But that being said, I definitely at late at night have a bit of a sweet tooth, and I have to be really cautious because I also like to enjoy medicinal situations of cannabis nature.
Oh God, that's a nightmare.
Which then can cause you to have a really, really just binge worthy of some of the most decadent foods, like this next major company I'm about to talk about. Magnum, the ice cream bars. They do these delicious, very, very sort of seemingly guilty pleasure style dessert pops, right? Well, they decided to do highlight how for many, you know, LGBTQ folks around the world, it's still quite illegal and sometimes even, you know, punishable by death in some countries. And so while this company, Magnum, was trying to shed a light on this, that it's still illegal in 70 countries around the world, that punishment for homosexuality and sodomy in these countries range from imprisonment to death, they kind of didn't quite hit the mark. They basically had...
They got it wrong.
They did. Basically, Spotify users in the UK were recently met with this with an ice cream sort of Magnum ad. And they said the ad had a male voiceover in which the narrator expresses how his love is a guilty pleasure that can get him arrested. He says in the ad, "A hug for my boyfriend. That's my guilty pleasure. Because in my country, just a simple hug with the man I love could send me to prison for more than 10 years. Magnum." Delicious. I don't know what the end Magnum tie-in is, but it's basically for Magnum. And some people had criticism for the company latching on to such a devastating thing for the community and then basically telling people, here, enjoy a guilty pleasure. Ice cream. It's just like being gay in a dangerous place.
Honestly, again, it goes back to our conversation earlier with Versace getting it wrong. You guys literally have hundreds of people you can run this by. Even go as far as to like do a survey in a gay district and be like, is this going to be offensive?
I have another question for you.
Go on.
I went to drag brunch on Sunday. It was at Flaming Saddles.
Cute.
The drag queen had a gun that she shot several times. And every time she shot it, glitter confetti came out. We didn't like it. No one liked it. Everyone felt uneasy. It was not the right vibe for where we are in society.
Oh, that's interesting, actually, because I didn't even second guess it until you said people felt uneasy.
You would have, if you heard this, like, you would have been
like,
oh.
It was loud. It was like,
It sounded like, even though you knew it was like just a blank or whatever, it made people in the crowd feel a certain way.
What
much
was
like
her
this
character?
Ad.
What was it?
She was playing like a cute little, like, you know.
She's
like,
just trying to be cute, trying to do
cute,
the right
bang,
thing.
Bang, bang, bang. It's a country themed little sparkly outfit with a bang. But I just think guns in any kind of number on stage at the moment are like a gratuitous prop you don't need.
Yeah, well, I feel like it goes back to this then too with Magnum, like it being a guilty pleasure.
Like it's just, it's not the best way to highlight the community and our plight and our struggles.
It's not, because it's not a choice. It's, we shouldn't feel guilty. It's not something that's pleasureful. Actually, it's very harmful. It's still very dangerous for us to be. I mean, yeah, it just goes to the fact that I don't understand how these companies don't get it right.
Like, it's kind of sad that he feels guilty for hugging his boyfriend because
that's what I'm saying.
There's so much shame and it's dangerous where he lives, and that I'm not necessarily sure this makes me want to run out and buy a box of Magnums and enjoy, put them in my freezer. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, exactly. All right, you guys. Well, listen, coming up in the next hour, Trump has been doing a lot of creepy handwriting, and you won't believe who these love notes are to. No, it's not Melania.
Or maybe you will believe it. I would write this guy a love note.
I would maybe write the guy a love note too. Also, there are two beautiful men that have adopted an egg, an abandoned egg. They're trying to take care of them.
I know where this is going.
And so it's going to be a love fest.
I'm just glad they're wearing tuxedos. Hour. That's all I'm glad.
Honestly, they dressed up for the occasion, and that's important.
That's right.
Basically,
I haven't written a handwritten note, like a note, like to send to someone, like, thank you so much for having me to your amazing house, blah, blah, blah. No. I have not done that in years, yet I have a felt-like box that has beautiful stationery in it. I should just throw it away.
No, give it to me.
It has my name on it. It's from the office of Jay Rodriguez.
I want your stationery, and I'm going to pretend I'm Jay Rodriguez.
But for the Christmas time, for the holidays, I mean, do you write a Christmas card? Do you guys do Christmas cards?
Yeah.
As if you do.
But I don't send them in the mail. I don't send my photos.
You just take a picture and
people,
send it.
I text you
a picture of my handwritten.
I take a group photo. I take a photo of me and my dogs and Lisa, and then I send them out to the masses. No, I pick like the people I'm closest with. I write them a beautiful Christmas card. I say, mm-hmm. I love you. Mm-hmm. Merry Christmas. Hey, don't talk to me for another year.
Well, what people want for Christmas is apparently this this fast food that's only available internationally. So that's coming up later this hour. They sound really delicious, frankly. I think it's going to whet your appetite for more. Until we get there, it's time for some news on the beat. So, Michaela Gordon, what are people talking about?
All right, guys, this story has been in the news and has been so crazy, but the questions surrounding Jeffrey Epstein's death have uncovered what employees say is a broader problem of short staffing and budget constraints in federal prisons. Attorney General William Barr said serious irregularities were found at the Metropolitan Correctional Center in New York, long thought to be a well-run facility that has been used to house high-profile prisoners who require highly secure conditions. However, employees at the prison gave accounts of 18-hour workdays, mandatory overtime, and prison guard shifts being covered by workers who aren't prison guards. In the case of Epstein, a person familiar with the matter said at least one of the two employees on duty at the time of his suicide was not part of the regular detention workforce. I got to tell you something. I was at the gym yesterday, and it's just all people are talking about is this Jeffrey Epstein case, their conspiracy theories, what they think is happening.
Honestly, it makes me feel like we're living in an episode of Scandal.
Yeah, kind of.
And this guy was taken out, and
I wish we were living in an episode of Scandal. That would have mean I've booked something, and I'm now back on television. Okay, moving on. The Trump administration released a new regulation yesterday that could make it more difficult for immigrants to enter the U.S. legally. The rule allows green card and visa applicants to be turned down if they have low incomes or little education and have used benefits such as most forms of Medicaid, food stamps, and housing vouchers. Acting U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services Director Ken Guccinelli says the new regulations encourage self-reliance and self-sufficiency for those seeking to come to or stay in the United States. Now, critics say the rule just puts a chokehold on legal immigration for no reason. If you're an immigrant, he believes you have no place in this country. 2020 Democratic hopeful Beto O'Rourke tweeted about President Trump following the announcement. Now, immigrant advocates said the rule would also penalize hardworking immigrants who may need a small amount of government assistance to start out. New York's attorney general has already said she plans to sue to block the rule. All right, guys. Forecasters are warning about continued sweltering and dangerous heat gripping a wide swath of the South and Midwest, where temperatures are climbing to over 100 degrees. Parts of 13 states were under heat advisories from Texas, Louisiana, and Florida in the South to Missouri and Illinois in the Midwest, the National Weather Service reported. Now, some of the most oppressive conditions were in Louisiana, Arkansas, Mississippi, and Oklahoma. More of the same is in store for today when heat and humidity will again make for dangerous heat indexes over a wide area. These continuing high temperatures come just a few weeks after the U.S. was draped with a heat wave that left about 195 million people under an excessive heat watch or warning or a heat advisory, according to one report. All right, you guys, well, we are so proud to say, as you know, we are officially a podcast. All you need to do if you can't listen to us live and you want to listen to us on your own time is head on over to wearechannelq.com to download the podcast or anywhere you download your podcasts. We are everywhere. We are Thomas.
We're everywhere.
Well, we're a big deal
now. We have a podcast of soul.
We have a podcast of soul. Jen McKayla, morning.
I'm going to gag you so hard.
That sounds so dirty. I'm into it.
No, I mean, I'm going to make you
lose your mind
over this good piece of gossip. In fact, you have to keep it here because in the next hour we have What's Poppin', which is pop culture news. Katy Perry, one of her former like male models in a video, is coming out hard against her saying she was inappropriate. Full detail thing. You're going to lose your mind.
Gagged, blow my mind, lose my mind, and hard. All things I'm going to hear at 7 a.m. Yes, sir?
So let's talk about handwritten notes.
I love them.
You do?
Let me tell you something. There was nothing. First of all, welcome back, everybody that is starting their second day of school today.
Ugh, that honestly makes me sick to my. That's probably why I was sick to my stomach yesterday.
Oh my God, you were sick about that.
The idea of like going back to school, the smell of fresh
stressed
books.
Stresses me out. I loved it. And let me tell you something. I was kind of popular with, I don't know if it was the boys or the girls, but I loved getting like notes from my friends and like going to the bathroom and like passing them off. Mm-hmm. And
people do not do that anymore. They text.
Of course. But we made them so creative. We got like these highlighter pens. Yeah. And then you would like draw things. Like, it was a terrible
now
artist.
Now it's emojis and filters.
Yeah. But honestly, it took a lot. You had to like think about it. You had to sneak it. You had to put it under your history book to write it. If you got caught, you could get in a lot of trouble. Maybe detention. It was all worth it.
I mean, okay. So this is bizarre, but also interesting and also speaks to who we're dealing with here. So President Trump, before Trump became president, he had a long history of tearing up pages from magazines, apparently, or printing out articles that he found offensive, scrolling some nonsense like in Sharpie, and then he would mail this to the party he believed had wronged him. So let's say you, Michaela Gordon, had like the Channel Q newsletter.
Oh, I hate when he pleases me.
And then when you did or said something I didn't like, I would take a Sharpie, write some insults to you, fold it, put it in the mail with postage, and be like, go to hell, love Trump.
Let me tell you something. I hate Trump. I hate that he pleases me when I want to be mad at him.
Yeah.
I want to be mad at you, but that, nothing makes me happier. It's very like Whitney Houston of him in The Bodyguard too.
Yeah.
Remember when the stalker like cuts out the letters
from
the magazine?
Well, that's what they're saying. Basically, while people in his position as president obviously would have not done this anymore, it kind of feels like kidnappers. Like their MO of cutting out and pasting letters together that spell like, if you ever want to see your dog again. Right? Not something you would do, especially when it conducts matters of like U.S. diplomacy. Well, Axios reports that back in May of 2017, Trump tore off the cover of Business Week, which actually featured a picture on the cover of Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau. Trudeau. I always say Thoreau because it's just the other Justin.
I know.
Justin Trudeau. And the headline, the anti-Trump. And so then Trump wrote in a silver Sharpie something to the effect of, looking good. Hope it's not true.
Oh my God, I love it.
In spite of the concern of some staffers who were stricken with the crazy notion that this was an appropriate way to communicate with a foreign leader, the White House then sent the missive to the Canadian embassy in Washington, where the Canadian ambassador thought he was being pranked. Perhaps he called the White House to check and was sadly told, no, the president did actually send that.
Could you imagine, like, your enemy? Like, just think about somebody you don't like, and you're sitting at home, you're, like, working
or
on your
beta
fish.
Or who's better than you, like, you know what I mean? Who, like, you're jealous of. Because I think that's what Trump is.
No,
he's jealous of him.
I'm saying you are sitting at home with your fish.
Minding my business.
Minding your own business, getting your fish from Vietnam.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, the mail comes, you're like, here's my Vietnamese fish.
Got it.
No, it's a postage letter from an enemy. And all it says, it's a cover of you on Queer Eye.
Yep.
And they're like, not cool. And you're like, wow, you bought the postage to say, cool. They sent you an Emmy photo. They're like, whatever. You're like, why would you do that?
But then months later, Trump, after doing that, he falsely told a rally crowd in Pensacola, Florida, that the U.S. has a trade deficit with Canada. Around the same time, Trump also mailed Trudeau a document purporting to show that the U.S. had a trade deficit with Canada. According to a source with direct knowledge, Trump wrote in Sharpie on the document, not good, or like something to that effect. Trump's document only mentioned America's deficit in the trade of goods and ignored its surplus in services. Anyway, so then Trump received a handwritten letter from Justin Trudeau, and the note on Trudeau's official stationery marked by the maple leaf began with a friendly tone, but ended with a drop of acid. Dear Donald, Trudeau wrote this letter dated December 20th, 2017. According to a source with direct knowledge of its contents, so take this with a grain of salt. It's been a busy year. Enjoy the Christmas holidays. You deserve it.
Oh my God.
One thing, you gave a great speech in Pensacola, but you were slightly off on the balance of trade with Canada. USTR says so. All the best for 2018, Justin.
Wow. I have to say, I want more of this juicy story. I want more letters from Trump. He's not just sending it to Justin. He's sending these letters to people.
But I love that it's magazines. Like, he's just taking a Sharpie.
Like, what does that even mean? Like, I just want people to imagine him sitting in the Oval Office, like with Cosmopolitan.
Going through, pulling out the sex tips. Yeah.
And being like,
Julia Louis-Dreyfus on the cover. I have some thoughts.
I'm going to rip it off. I'm going to fold it up. I'm going to put it in an envelope.
You've never been better than when you were on Seinfeld. Yeah.
Take this envelope.
Get it to HBO.
Get it to Justin.
She's a terrible Veep. Mike Pence is better. Oh, God. All right. So, look, there's a new couple who's making waves coming out of Berlin Zoo. That's right. We have another gay penguins.
Yeah, that's right. And honestly, they look like they'd be dressed to go to a gala. They're very excited.
But there's a situation happening. They have a new situation.
Okay, well, I want to know about it.
Well, they might be expecting, or maybe they're not expecting.
No.
It's a thing. We'll talk about it.
Let's do it. Stick around with a new Channel Q.
The Morning Beat with Jay Rodriguez and Michaela Gordon.
So we were talking about this yesterday, but straight pride is, you know, it's one of those things that people are very in their feelings about, and specifically a gentleman named Matthew Mason. Now, his adoptive mom is one of the organizers of the proposed Modesto Straight Pride. And he believes that it's actually a cover for more of a hate group than they're acknowledging. And so it's his mom, he would know, and being a local there, he's going to actually join us in the next hour to discuss this very issue. I'm interested to, remember when we were first talking about straight pride and we're like, this will never happen.
Honestly, I thought it was a joke, and unfortunately, it's like really become a thing.
Straight pride is every day.
A lot of rhetoric has come around. I mean, it's not the same parade that they're having that Matthew Mason is involved in, well, his mother's involved in, but just the other day.
I think it's like a festival. I don't even know if they're going to even march.
Well, but just the other day, another person in charge of a whole nother festival accidentally spilled that it's a peaceful racist protest.
They're peaceful racists.
And so, you know, that says a lot about them, just letting that spill out. So it's going to be interesting talking to Matthew Mason.
Do you think the idea of admitting that you're a racist is shocking anymore? I don't think so.
Mm-mm.
I think people feel pretty much supported.
1,000%. I think people are very happy to say, I don't like all kinds of people, and that's just my opinion. That's literally how it comes
out. Honestly, that's literally how it comes out, yeah.
Yeah, well, I couldn't imagine my mother throwing an entire festival, parade, pride.
In direct opposition for everything
all the things
for.
That I value and love. So it'll be, we love you, Matthew Mason. We're excited to talk to you here.
Okay, so that's going to be coming up next hour. But until we get there, we have a huge fascination with gay penguins. Remember when we first launched this station?
We love them.
So this is a couple, then two male, Skipper and Ping. Two male king penguins. And basically, they were transferred for Hamburg's Hagenbeck Zoo last April. And now they're at the Berlin Zoo. And they've been showing desire to raise a chick. They've been spotted trying to hatch stones or like sitting on fish, all in their quest to become dads. Aww. That's sort of how they incubate these little these eggs. So the 10-year-old king penguins may soon get their wish because the sole female at the zoo's penguin colony, she abandoned her egg. In July, Skipper and Ping, they stepped up to the plate to adopt it.
Yes.
And the spokesperson for the zoo told the Berliner Zundag, the Berlin-based newspaper, that the two are, quote, behaving like model parents, taking turns, keeping the egg warm under their brood pouches, which is the flap of skin just over the feet protecting the egg. Now, there are currently six penguins at the Berlin Zoo, and there hasn't been a new chick since 2002. 17 years, no new chick.
First of all, you know how I feel about gay dads. I wish I was the spawn of gay dads. I don't even want a mother. I want two gay fathers. Having said that, I love these stories because they're so much like humans. They're like, listen, we're in love.
Yeah.
We've dressed up every day since the beginning of our time.
That's right.
Nice little bow tie. Mm-hmm. And we're ready to bring Matilda into this world.
Baby Matilda?
That's her name. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, well, they let me know before I shared this story.
Here's the twist, which is a little sad.
What?
So they don't know if the egg is fertilized.
Oh, God.
So the zookeepers are like, well, hoping for the best.
Oh, my God. So these little angel...
They're getting super excited about possibly becoming dads.
We're also talking about people that were trying to hatch stones. So it's, you know, are we that close? We don't know.
I don't know.
It's like me and Lisa sitting on a stone being like, I don't know, maybe the baby
You've done stranger come. Things.
Yeah.
So the
That's
zookeepers
real.
Do not know that it is fertilized or if it is not, if it is fertilized or if it's not fertilized. And so if the egg is fertilized and no problems arise, the egg will hatch in early September.
I would like for them to hatch this egg in September, and then I would like to take this beautiful, pristine little chick and take it to Straight Pride and march in Straight Pride with my two fellow penguin friends, Skipper and Ping, and their baby. And I'm going to say, if you think being gay is unnatural, take a look at this hot chick.
Do you know that 1 in 5 king penguins will engage in same-sex relationships? 1 in 5.
They literally live in West Hollywood, California. I know a few Skippers and Pings.
Well, the London Zoo, home to several same-sex couples, started raising awareness of homosexuality among animals in a recent Pride-related program that included the signage that we reported on, which said, some penguins are gay. Get over it.
Get over it.
Well, it kind of does make me kind of want to go to the zoo and see like what kind of gay things we have going on at the Los Angeles Zoo.
Okay, but can you please do me a bigger favor for the people listening? Can you please read what you read to me during the break?
Oh, yeah.
About people being offended.
Well, there's a guy on Twitter that says, in response to this article, the article read, same-sex penguin couple at the Berlin Zoo adopted an abandoned egg. Cameron Katsky, one of the Parkland shooting survivors, says, doesn't mean I have to bake them a freaking wedding cake. And then he went on to say, you can call me hateful or bigoted or whatever, but after what their kind tried to do to Batman, I can't look at any of them the same way again. He won the internet.
You won the internet, Cameron!
Making a hilarious joke about the penguin trying to kill Batman.
But also, Batman, we stand for you, and so these penguins, you're out.
I mean, unless...
The Morning Beat with Jay and Michaela.
The new Channel Q.
So, you know, when you travel internationally, you discover new foods or things that were available here in the States you had no idea about. For me, it was visiting Australia for the first time and discovering a flat white. Do you know what that is?
A coffee.
Yes. Do you know how it's prepared?
No. I used to have bandmates years ago. It was 4 years ago. They introduced me to the flat white.
Yeah.
But it's just, tell me, it's like, is it like an Americano with a...
No. Yeah, it's a lot. It's basically like a very strong latte or something. It's like a very strong cappuccino. It's just prepared differently. And it's very, very strong and tasty. And I loved it because I grew up drinking café con leches, which are like usually a bustelo or some other kind of Cuban espresso with, you know, that being the more potent part with like a steamed milk.
Yeah.
Delicious. Doesn't taste great here in the States. Somehow in Australia, amazing. That being said, there's a bunch of international food items that I'm sure people wish were in existence here in the States. Now, I'm going to run through a list of some of these really tasty treats, and you tell me if you would actually try them or you want them to stay back home, okay? All right. The first one is spicy chicken McNuggets with spicy tomato dip from McDonald's.
Yes, honey.
Yeah,
that
you're here for it.
So good.
Yeah,
yes.
It's by the way, across the pond, they got this in August, so this year, at McDonald's restaurants in the United Kingdom. They added spicy chicken McNuggets, so maybe they're trying it out there. First.
I will say this, though. I used to go to Wendy's. I don't know if any of you are listening. And you could do like the two for whatever. And I would get a baked potato loaded with the spicy chicken nuggets and ranch. And honestly, take my breath away. That's when I was like still thin and could like eat like that.
When you're a kid.
Now I'm like, I'll have a fry. Thank you.
Oh, my gosh.
Cool.
Starbucks in Japan, they have peach on the beach frappuccino.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Yeah. All right.
Here's the thing, though. When I go to Starbucks, I don't want any of those fruity drinks. I want a coffee.
So okay. Man. All right. That's fair. How about McDonald's in Hong Kong now has wasabi fries?
Yes. I would definitely take... You know what they have here is wasabi chips. And those are very good.
I like wasabi almonds.
Yeah.
Spicy. Mm-hmm. Well, in Hong Kong, it's known as wasabi shake fries. This item is off the McDonald's Hong Kong. It's spicier than the fries sold here in America, obviously. But in fact, McDonald's spokesperson tells Us Weekly the fries are served with wasabi seasoning packet, so customers can shake the fries and wasabi together to disperse the spice on their own. So you want a little more, add a little more, a little less, a little less.
Yeah, I love that.
Would you do that? So that's you're done.
1,000%.
How about South Korea, they have a Starbucks there, has sort of a watermelon blended kind of like tea thing. It's like a tea with passion fruit and watermelon. It's like zingy and refreshing.
Yeah, again, like I don't go to coffee shops for tea or like passion fruity drinks. So
final one, Starbucks, South Korea also. The avocado blended.
Absolutely not. Stay away from me.
South Korea struck gold again with their avocado blended. It's like a watermelon-focused counterpart. This seasonal drink is combined of ice, yogurt, and fruit.
Okay.
But the similarities end there. And the trendy avocado blended comes complete with dark green rim meant to look like an avocado peel and a pit made of chocolate, because who doesn't love a little chocolate?
Who doesn't love a rim? Am I right? I feel like I don't want to ever do that. And people only started doing that because they saw Kourtney Kardashian eating that avocado yogurt that she was doing. She's like, I like it warm and I stay thin. And everyone was like, let's do it. And to me, stupid.
Yeah, I like my avocado either on chips or in a sandwich.
Yeah,
that's about it.
Yeah, I'm good. And I'm never going to be that person that eats it freely, like just cuts up and like
I actually will. I will eat it with a little tahine, though. Avocado with tahini is like so good to me. Do you know what tahini is?
It's a spice that you put on your fruit.
It's like a chili lime spice. Yeah.
No, it's very
good.
Good
over mango too.
Yeah, I love it over fruits. All right, well, listen, I can clearly travel around the world because I would not starve, unfortunately.
You would not starve eating at fast food restaurants around the world.
I'm going to be honest. I wish the answer was I would starve eating. I mean, there's nothing I won't eat. Get a grip, Michaela.
I will tell you
standards.
This, though. This next hour is going to be good and juicy. Matthew Mason joins us. His mom, one of the organizers of Straight Pride. He's fighting basically to make it not happen.
Yeah, this is major.
We're kind of, you and I both have issues with our moms. So this will be interesting to kind of unpack this story with him and find out what the status of these Modesto Straight Pride is. It's here in our own home state of California.
Miss Cavaricci, Miss Rodriguez, are you marching in the parade with Miss Mason? Stay here with the new channel, QNU Radio and Radio.com.
The Morning Beat with Jay Rodriguez and Michaela Gordon.
Coming up this hour, Matthew Mason, his mother, is one of the organizers trying to do Straight Pride in Modesto. Now, Straight Pride, just to the average ear, might be like, oh, just straight people celebrating their straightness. No. Apparently, it is far greater than that. A lot of people within our community are a little, you know, pissed off because we still have so many rules and regulations where we don't have full equality. We could be fired from our jobs. We could be evicted from our homes in many states across the country, just quite frankly, for being gay. Hate crimes are on a rise. So the idea of having Straight Pride seems like sort of a smack in the face to those who are marginalized. But imagine if your mother was the organizer. So Matthew Mason will be joining us a little later on.
It's interesting to me. I don't actually know. We have strange relationships with our mothers, so I can understand that. But I don't see my mom ever having an entire pride to go against what I truly value and who I am.
I feel like if my mom was invited to speak at Straight Pride, she would take that chance in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
And she would say
well, because you grew up in a really religious household.
I think Matthew, unless his mom is not, I think she's evangelical-based of faith-based woman. I believe that we probably had a similar upbringing, but I can't wait to ask him about that.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I'm excited to have him on the show, and I'm excited that we have a station where we can make people like us feel included.
Well, also just to have
heard
that conversation, because, you know, it's not about necessarily hating those that are faith-based or hating those who are LGBTQ+. It's about how to figure out, how do we start this conversation to step toward each other again?
Yeah, absolutely.
And, you know, there's a lot of words out there for people feel like, oh, well, tolerance, or no, it can't be tolerance, it has to be full acceptance. And so the conversation is always in people's minds. And so instead of having one, people have no conversation because it's too difficult. But I'm glad Matthew is joining us, like you said. And until we get there, because it's time for some news on the beat. So Michaela Gordon, what are people talking about?
All right, guys. Well, a friend who provided the Dayton, Ohio shooter with ammunition and tactical gear is facing federal firearm charges. Now, Ethan Colley, 24, of Kettering, Ohio, admitted to the FBI that he'd purchased body armor, a 100-round double-drum magazine, and an upper receiver for an AR-15 for Connor Betts, who went on to kill 9 people this month in a Dayton entertainment district. Now, Colley also said in an interview that he had done hard drugs, marijuana, and LSD with Betts several times a week between 2014 and 2015. The local U.S. attorney made it clear that although all the items Colley bought for Betts were used in the shooting, Colley didn't know of the attack beforehand and did not intentionally help plan it. All right, you guys, a story that will not quit anytime soon. The questions surrounding Jeffrey Epstein's death have uncovered what employees say is a broader problem of short staffing and budget constraints in federal prisons. Attorney General William Barr said serious irregularities were found at the Metropolitan Correctional Center in New York, long thought to be a well-run facility that has been used to house high-profile prisoners who require highly secure conditions. However, employees at the prison gave accounts of 18-hour workdays, mandatory overtime, and prison guard shifts being covered by workers who aren't prison guards. Now, in the case of Epstein, a person familiar with the matter said at least one of the 2 employees on duty at the time of his suicide was not part of the regular detention workforce. All right, guys, forecasters are warning about continued sweltering and dangerous heat gripping a wide swath of the South and Midwest, where temperatures are climbing to over 100 degrees. Parts of 13 states were under heat advisories, from Texas, Louisiana, and Florida in the South to Missouri and Illinois in the Midwest. The National Weather Service reported. Now, some of the most oppressive conditions were in Louisiana, Arkansas, Mississippi, and Oklahoma. More of the same is in store for Tuesday. Today, when heat and humidity will again make for dangerous heat indexes over a wide area. These continuing high temperatures come just a few weeks after the U.S. was draped with a heat wave that left about 195 million people under an excessive heat watch or warning or a heat advisory, according to one report. All right, you guys, we want to remind you that if you have any smart speakers, all you have to do is say, hey, Alexa, play Channel Q on radio.com. That way you can listen to us wherever you go, hands-free. All right, I'm very excited to say that we will be having Matthew Mason joining us. Coming up next, he is the son of Melinda Mason. She is running a straight pride, and as an LGBTQ family, we want to know how that's making him feel and what we can do about it. Stick around with a new Channel Q.
Welcome back to The Morning Bee. That's right, it's Jay and Michaela here. Now listen, we were just talking about straight pride. There's one happening in Modesto, or maybe not, I don't know. But that being said, one of the organizers happens to have a gay son. And his name is Matthew Mason, and he is on the line with us now. Matthew, welcome to The Morning Beat.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you.
Matthew.
First of all, Matthew,
hello.
Now, Michaela and I both grew up with somewhat conservative folks, me, myself, particularly in a religious household. But your mom is one of the organizers, or your adopted mom is one of the organizers for Straight Pride Modesto, the same pride event where another organizer recently classified the organization as a totally peaceful racist group. Now, when they are claiming, what are they saying that Straight Pride is? And in your opinion, what is it really?
So what they're saying is they're saying straight pride is, you know, they're selling it as a celebration of heterosexuality.
Mm-hmm. Isn't that every day, though?
I was just going to, because that's so desperately needed.
Right. I'm just like, well, what part of heterosexuality are you actually celebrating? Uh-huh. Because y'all don't have any sort of struggle to celebrate.
Right.
It's interesting because, can I ask you, have you made that point to them? And what is their comeback when you say that?
I have tried to get into contact with Melinda. I've sent her several texts over the past couple of weeks, but she hasn't responded to any of them.
And Melinda is your adopted mother.
Yes.
Correct. Yeah, I got it.
So I haven't been able to like make that point directly to her face.
Right.
But I have been talking about how pride is not a celebration of being gay, but a celebration of, you know, being a marginalized community, having to struggle with that, and coming out on the other side of it with a sense of pride for an accomplishment.
And I always feel like it's time for communities to recognize, like you said, how far we've come and what we still have left to do and what we still have left to fight for. Now, you grew up in a faith-based home. Would you say your upbringing was different than maybe perhaps your peers?
Yes, definitely. I was homeschooled for all 12 grades of school.
Wow.
And definitely super, super religious, more so than any of my other religious peers, I think.
Mm-hmm. Can I ask you a question? How old were you, or do you remember the moment when you knew that you were gay, mm-hmm. and how did you deal with that growing up in such a strongly faith-based home?
So, like most people, it was always sort of a thing.
Yeah.
I knew that I had attraction towards other guys, but I also knew that being gay meant that I was going to go to hell and be ostracized from all of my friends and family.
Right.
So I had that sort of realization when I was, I don't know, 14 or so.
Right.
And then, you know, I just sat with that for about 2 or 3 years until I could finally come to a place where I could admit that to myself.
Right. Well, we are with Matthew Mason, whose adopted mother is one of the organizers of the Straight Pride that's looking to happen in Modesto. Now, just to backtrack a little, it was this organization called the National Straight Pride Coalition. Their event had planned to rally in a park on August 24th. However, the request for a permit to use the park was refused on Friday of this last week. A city spokesperson said the permit was rejected because the group had lost its liability insurance, and then they came to the park. And that decision came after the city's park department had previously deemed the event inappropriate for public space. However, a rally will be allowed to take place in Modesto Downtown Plaza if proof of insurance can be provided by today, Tuesday, August 13th. Do you know where we are with this, or what the status of that is?
No, I don't know what the status of that is yet. City hasn't opened for business yet.
Sure.
And we really won't know anything until probably about 5 o'clock tonight.
How are you feeling about this, about it moving forward? I mean, it does kind of seem, based on the rhetoric and a lot of the language and the reporting I've read, it doesn't feel like it's really, it feels a little bit more to me like an anti-LGBTQ event.
Yeah, this is an anti-LGBT event. This is a white supremacist event. This is a Christian, quote unquote, Christian mm-hmm. event.
And when you say it's a white supremacist event, like how do you feel that be coming in, or how do you feel that from having been around these folks? How do you feel that making it?
Well, yeah, because if I could just ask you, Matthew, Jay and I were just talking. We said it's interesting that we live in a world now where people can openly be racist. Like they can just say, "I said what I said, and I'm not taking back." And somebody recently said about a straight pride, "We're a racist protest." That it was a racist. It was a peaceful racist protest. He also didn't apologize after he said that. Do you think he meant to say it so openly, or did it just slip out?
No, I don't think that he meant to say that openly. But as we all know what happens when you get excited about something and go off script, you're probably going to say what's on your mind.
Yeah.
It's a Freudian slip, really.
Mm-hmm.
I was there at the city council meeting when he said it, mm-hmm. and yeah, he did not apologize for it. As soon as it came out of his mouth, he knew that he had screwed it up.
Yeah, yeah.
What was the audience reaction?
I mean, because they laughed.
Oh, yeah. So city council meetings in Modesto are generally pretty quiet, boring affairs.
Right.
Unless something happens like this.
Right. I don't mean to laugh, but we were shocked.
Yeah, I think everyone else was too.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, personally, like I took a beat and I was just like, oh, he said that. And then I just started laughing hysterically.
What can we do, Matthew? Because I know that, you know, everyone's kind of feeling a little helpless. And, you know, at first when we heard the phrase straight pride, I don't think anyone people really thought about it too much.
No, we were making jokes about it.
And then when we started unpacking the intent of some of these organizers, it started to feel a little frightening and like, what kind of world are we living in?
Exactly. Yeah, and that's what we need to do. We need to be unpacking. We need to never take anything at face value. Always get beyond the facade that people are putting up to hide their beliefs and beliefs and behaviors.
Yeah,
and really see who people are. And then once we see who people are, call them on it.
Yes,
yeah,
don't be silent.
Sure.
Yeah. Agreed.
Well, I just want to say that I can't imagine how difficult it is to go against your own family, particularly when they're doing a pride against everything that you value and who you are. So we want you to know that, especially here at Channel Q, we appreciate you and we want to continue to do whatever we can to help you. Are you feeling okay emotionally? Are you doing okay?
Yeah, I'm doing okay. I have a therapist that I've been talking to about everything in life, and mm-hmm. I went and saw him when everything first started going down.
Yeah,
And then I went and saw him again after the city council meeting.
Yeah,
And he was just like, "Wow, you've told me about your mom before, but this just encapsulated all of that."
Well, Matthew, we feel like we're part of your family because, you know, Michaela and I both have very, very similar relationships with our mothers, and you know, this story hit close to home for us. And so, just know that mm-hmm. we are with you and we support you, and please, we want to keep checking in and keep us updated on what ends up happening with all of this.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Matthew.
All right, guys.
Thank you.
Keep it here with the new Channel Q on your radio and radio.com.
The Morning Beat with Jay Rodriguez and Michaela Gordon.
We are way too sober today. It's National Prosecco Day.
So I know.
Missed the bar on that one.
I hate us.
What kind of homosexuals are we?
Terrible ones. It's also National Filet Mignon Day. Thank you. It's French for filet mignon. And it's also that day as well.
My friend Timo is listening right now. Hey, Timo Nunez is a great celebrity choreographer.
Hi, Timo
Nunez. Oh, you name
it, he is. Choreographer, hunty.
Oh,
don't
no,
do
he's
this.
He's like all the things. Fantastic. Actually,
hot.
He's, well, yes, he's
hold
hot
on,
too.
Hold on. Timo Nunez, you are fire. Is he single?
I don't know.
Do you guys want to go on a date?
No. Stop being the Yenta. So he's going to come on at some point because he's got a great new song out and the video is amazing and is the right platform for him to share all that with us. But before we get there, next hour, like I said, we're going to be playing a little Prosecco trivia. Should we get Prosecco?
Oh, for God's sake!
Well, I know you're on a diet, so what are your thoughts?
Well, I'll take a sip.
I'm not going to buy a whole bottle if you're just having a sip.
I said I'll have some. Twist my arm.
Fine. Okay, great. All right.
I hate that I'm this person. I hate that I am this person.
Easily swayed?
Yes. Literally, I am on a diet. I have a pool party for lesbians on Saturday that I am hosting.
But I thought lesbians were very body positive. Like, they love your curves.
No.
No.
It goes back to gay men. You want to look ripped, but you're into the kind of, like, normal-looking body.
Yeah.
I want to look, like, bootylicious, tiny waist, but I don't care what you look like.
Please stop talking about me like I'm not in the room.
Judgy. You are pretty bootylicious. I haven't seen you work out.
I know.
I'm impressed.
I know. I'm pretty good beast-like in the gym.
You are kind of beast-like. You know what's surprising about us?
I do not complain when he pushes me. I do it all.
No, you don't. What's surprising about us is we love a cocktail and we love terrible food. However, when you throw us into the gym after we've complained the entire way going there,
I'm kind of sad because I feel like I'm nearing the end of my summer body, so I should really start taking all the thotty pictures.
Well, listen.
Take it now.
Time's up almost, honey. You better take them now.
And then it's Halloween, and then you can eat again for a while. Halloween's like another gay holiday where everyone's naked.
You cannot eat during Halloween, and then you can start eating around Thanksgiving.
That's real. All right, well, I wanted to switch gears a little bit because this is really the crazy story that I know had a lot of women very much concerned about our justice system. Now, when it comes to rape cases, we all know that a lot of these rape kits stay in, like, you know, files or stay in kind of tested for years. It's been an issue for the backlog of rape kits that have, you know, DNA that has not found anyone yet.
Yeah.
And we know that these conversations have been had. But what we are not used to is hearing stories like this next one. The sex crimes detective who raped a teen victim while investigating her case was tried and he got 3 years in prison. But isn't this shocking that Neil Kimball sexually assaulted a teen rape victim while she was allegedly bound and tied? And this is according to Ventura County District Attorney Anthony Gregory Trotton said. It's sad because basically this girl was 15 years old, and this is back in 2017. He was investigating a previous sexual assault that she reported. And this guy's 46 years old. He's from Agoura, California. Agoura, California? Mm-hmm. He pled guilty to lewd act with a child and unlawful sexual intercourse. But could you imagine this? You go to the police, right?
Yeah.
And you are trying to find your attacker, or you're trying to get justice for being attacked. But apparently, during his investigation, he befriended the victim.
Well, here's what's interesting also. He only had to pay $50,000 for her pain and suffering and then also just obliged to have no contact with her. And I think that you have to remember that it's not about money. However, to brutally attack her after she trusted you after already dealing with the trauma, you need to be giving her a lot more than $50,000 to ease her life.
Is 15 still considered, I think it is in prison, but is it still considered a child? Like, you know, when pedophiles go to prison,
it is.
They get it.
Yeah.
I mean, the poor, you know.
I think the lowest age is 16. And that's still very young to me that you could sort of be considered to be maybe.
And it's sad because this guy is a 20-year veteran who actually was charged with forcible rape, but the prosecutors were unable to prove that he had used force, apparently they're saying. Well, on July 9th, he pled guilty to lesser charges of committing a lewd act with a child and unlawful sexual intercourse as part of his plea deal. And again, only 3 years.
Yeah, I think that the importance of this story truly is that, you know, women come out all the time saying that they've been sexually attacked. We talked about it so much with Christine Blasey Ford. I mean, we really went into that, and we really believe women. We fight for women, and it's just important to remember that you can even ask for help, and then for this to happen yet again, like, it's very serious.
I have a lot of parents who are like, I will not let my child go with other adults unsupervised.
No, absolutely. And guess what?
I don't care who you are.
Guess what? When I become a mother, they won't be going anywhere until they're 45 alone. Because it's dangerous.
It is.
Do you know what I'm saying? And to be a young, petite, not even petite, just a woman in general.
Any kind of,
you know, you don't have the physical strength just scientifically that men have. And you have to be careful. And I feel really sad that this is the world that we're living in. But it's important to let women know that you have to stay smart and you always have to, you know, keep somebody.
And to speak up and know that people are there to listen. Well, you know what? I don't think 3 years is enough for this guy, but hopefully in prison he'll learn a lesson or two.
Absolutely. All right, you guys. Well, in better news, we've got what's poppin' coming up next.
Oh, honey, this Katy Perry news.
The Katy Perry news is wild, but also so is Todd Chrisley. You know, he's a very religious, God-loving guy.
Yeah, he's the guy who's kind of, everyone thinks he's gay, but he's actually married, and he's got this home, this show about his family.
Yeah, well, he's committed a crime, honey.
What?
Might get indicted.
No.
We're talking about it. Stick around with the new Channel Q.
Gotta say, I'm exceptionally proud of you in this fitness journey. However, how are you going to maintain this beyond this pool party? Because it's do you feel like what you're doing now, which does feel like a crash course in fitness, will you carry any of it on forward with you, or is it strictly just for this one pool party? Like, are there bits and pieces that you'll stay with and some that you'll get rid of?
No, here's the thing, and I think you can attest to this. Even when I get crazy, I still go to the gym. I always keep myself at a good place where I could, like, get it right if I needed to immediately.
Honestly, that fear and that panic of, Jay, we need you shirtless next week for this show, or tomorrow they just want to offer you the role, like, that lives within me always.
Yeah, I always stay about 2 weeks, 3 weeks if I had the time, a month if it was the best.
To get to your personal best.
To my personal best. But also, there's a huge party happening in October in Miami that I'm also preparing myself for. I'm trying to go.
Not gotten permission to go yet.
At all. No one said I could go.
No one said you're allowed to go.
Literally, not even Lisa. Like, nobody. Not Brian, not Lisa, not you, nobody.
And I'm dying to go. And by the way, I'm so on board for that.
I said, I'm preparing for this event in Miami. You're not invited. Michaela, excellent. I will be there the 28th.
And it's a lesbian party.
Yeah, it's a lesbian party, but I just want to go to Miami with you, and this party's really great.
Well, if you do the lesbian party, we're down an entire day is gone, and probably the next morning, because you know how you are.
Why don't you just come with me?
I'm not going to a lesbian party. You generally, the lesbians have so few opportunities to celebrate just girl time that they generally don't like men in their events.
It's you, Jay.
No, I don't get a pass. I've got a beard. Let me tell you something. It works.
So do some of they.
Well,
of those gals.
I'm getting out of this conversation
before
I get dragged.
Removal, okay?
It is time for some news on the beat on Prosecco Day. So Michaela Gordon, which by the way, we have some trivia about that coming up. Michaela Gordon, what are people talking about?
All right, guys. Well, forecasters are warning about continued sweltering and dangerous heat gripping a wide swath of the South and Midwest, where temperatures are climbing to over 100 degrees. Parts of 13 states were under heat advisories, from Texas, Louisiana, and Florida in the South to Missouri and Illinois in the Midwest. The National Weather Service reported now some of the most oppressive conditions were in Louisiana, Arkansas, Mississippi, and Oklahoma. More of the same is in store for Tuesday, when heat and humidity will again make for dangerous heat indexes over a wide area. Now, these continuing high temperatures come just a few weeks after the U.S. was draped with a heat wave that left about 195 million people under an excessive heat watch or warning or a heat advisory, according to one report. All right, guys, in other news, the Trump administration released a new regulation yesterday that could make it more difficult for immigrants to enter the U.S. legally. The rule allows green card and visa applicants to be turned down if they have low incomes or little education and have used benefits such as most forms of Medicaid, food stamps, and housing vouchers. Acting U.S. Citizenship and Immigrant Services Director Ken Cuccinelli says the new regulations encourage self-reliance and self-sufficiency for those seeking to come to or stay in the United States. Critics say the rules just puts a chokehold on legal immigration for no reason. If you're an immigrant, he believes you have no place in this country. 2020 Democratic hopeful Beto O'Rourke tweeted about President Trump following the announcement. Immigrant advocates said the rule would also penalize hardworking immigrants who may need a small amount of government assistance to start out. New York's attorney general has already said she plans to sue the block rule. All right, guys, a friend who provided the Dayton, Ohio shooter with ammunition and tactical gear is facing federal firearm charges. Ethan Cauley, 24, of Kettering, Ohio, admitted to the FBI that he'd purchased body armor, a 100-round double-drum magazine, and an upper receiver for an AR-15 for Connor Betts, who went on to kill 9 people this month in a Dayton entertainment district. Cauley also said in an interview that he had done hard drugs, marijuana, and LSD with Betts several times a week before 2014 and 2015. 2019. Now, the local U.S. attorney made it clear that although all the items Kali bought for Betts were used in the shooting, Kali didn't know of the attack beforehand and did not intentionally help plan it. I'm going to say this, though, however. If someone came to me and were like, I need all of these things, and it looked like a shooting and it smelled like a shooting, honey, you're involved. Yeah, that's crazy
I'm
to
with
me.
You on that one.
You're like, okay, sure, yeah, just take this AR-15.
He knew he was helping him hide this amount of ammunition. Where else would he use them?
Yeah, I completely agree. I think that's crazy. All right, you guys. Well, what's also crazy is it's National Prosecco Day, and you know we love a cocktail here at the Morning Beat. But how well do we know our cocktails? I'm going to be testing Poppy Rodriguez on his Prosecco trivia. Stick around for the new Channel Q.
The Morning Beat with Jay and Michaela.
The new Channel Q.
Welcome back to The Morning Beat. Now, today is National Prosecco Day. So lean in to all those Aperol spritzes today, those mimosas, those Bellinis. It's your time to have that hiccup that we all know too well when you drink that Prosecco too fast.
Have you ever had the hiccups before you started drinking and then people think you're wasted and you're like, I genuinely just have the hiccups. And like, yeah, genuinely you have the hiccups.
I've never had that. No, but
it happens. I'm prone to hiccups. It happens a lot.
I can do Michaela Gordon drunk.
Whatever. Do it.
Let me tell you something. I just want to say, let me tell you something. 1,000%. And then she just said, let me tell you something. She hasn't told you anything. And then she says, let me tell you something. So she says it broadly, big.
That's true.
Then she said, and then you say something, oh yeah, I totally agree. And she's like, yeah, 1,000%. Then she winds it down and brings you in. She said, let me tell you something. And then now you got to lean in.
And then do I ever say anything?
I don't know if it eventually gets there. I mean, sometimes you get lost with a finger. She does like, you can't see my physicalization, but she basically points her finger at you and she goes, let me tell you something. The head kind of cocks a little bit. It does a weeble wobble.
Yeah.
It finds center. And then she struggles for the point, and then she takes another sip. It's great. It's a good time. But it's time for the Prosecco quiz. Now, are you quizzing me? I believe that's what's happening
Poppy,
here.
Yeah, I'm quizzing you. Okay, so here's the thing.
Yeah.
We so happily went to a, like, wine vineyard last year when we were in San Francisco and had a really good time. And I really didn't know that much about wine or Prosecco, but we learned a lot. So I'm going to now quiz you and see what you know.
Sure.
Okay.
Let's do it.
All right, guys. How many bottles of Prosecco DOCG were produced in 2014?
Where in the world?
Okay, well, that okay. Listen, the question. Okay, moving on. which grape variety is Prosecco predominantly made out of?
This is hard for me. This one I don't know.
That's okay. I'm gonna give you
clues.
Quest.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Chardonnay, Sauvignon Blanc, Glera, or Pinot Noir.
Prosecco. I'm going to say it's not Chardonnay. What's the other one?
Sauvignon Blanc.
Maybe it's Sauvignon Blanc.
Oh my God, I messed it up. Oh my God. Okay, Sauvignon Blanc. I'm going to mark them and then I'll tell you at the end because
okay,
it's
great.
That kind of quiz. Okay, Sauvignon Blanc. Got it? Okay.
Yep.
What does Spumante mean? Extra dry, medium sweetness, still, or fully sparkling?
Spumante. Yeah, it feels very like Luigi, like Mario Brothers.
Yeah.
What are the options again?
Extra dry,
uh-huh.
Medium sweetness,
uh-huh.
Still, or fully sparkling?
Spumante, I'm going to say fully sparkling.
I'm going to go with that. Sounds good.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, when did Prosecco get a DOCG quality level? Here's a tip.
Yeah.
The Prosecco DOCG area lies on a hilly strip of land between the towns of Conegliano,
uh-huh.
And Valadabinian.
What's the point of this again? When did this model get distinguished or whatever?
Yeah, when did Prosecco get a DOCG quality level?
1987.
Is it 2001, 2009, 1995, or 1972?
95.
Okay. He said no?
I know all the answers.
How do you know all the answers?
Because I took the quiz really fast.
Ah, Jeffrey just won.
Okay.
Well,
good.
We did nothing for these poor listeners. What did we learn about Prosecco? What's the bottom line here?
Here, no, we've still got more questions.
Well, go. This is boring.
Some Prosecco producers created widespread media coverage in 2015 by raising fears of what? Their concerns have so far proved largely unfounded. Global warming, that there would be a shortage of Prosecco, a dormant volcano in the region had started showing signs of life, or a new vine disease discovered in the area.
Is that the vine disease or that they'd run out of the grapes?
He's going to say vine disease. Are you going? Which one are you saying? Grapes or vine disease?
I'll say the grapes.
It was wrong. It was the vine disease.
Jeez.
All right. What order of driest to sweetest is correct for Labor-Lane
Prosecco? Oh, God. This is a hard one. This one I feel like people out there know.
Yeah.
Okay. It's okay because you're going to know too. Is it brut, extra dry, dry? Is it extra dry, dry, brut? Is it dry, extra dry, brut? Or extra dry, dry, brut, sweet?
It feels like it should be extra dry, dry, brut.
No. What is it?
Brut, extra dry, dry.
Brut, extra dry, dry.
That's stupid.
That is stupid.
That's confusing to the people who extra dry should be the driest.
Yeah, this isn't your fault. All right, here's the last.
Does that mean extra virgin olive oil is actually not quite virginal? Like they've given a handy in their day? You know what I'm saying?
Sounds like me.
All right, well.
All right, here's your last question. You got it?
Uh-huh. What is it?
In which Italian wine region is the Prosecco DOCG located? Veneto, Piedmont, Bordeaux, Abruzzo.
Like Piedmont, California?
No.
I was clarifying.
It's Veneto.
I was asking.
Well, don't ask. I don't know.
Well, clearly, I know nothing about Prosecco other than I love the way it tastes, and I shall have some later in honor of the day.
In honor of the day, yes. All right, now, you guys, coming up, Trump has obviously been very handsy with many people, but now he's moved on to handwritten letters.
That's thoughtful.
You'll never believe who he's writing a love note to.
Oh, gosh.
Coming up next.
The Morning Beat with Jay and Michaela. The new Channel Q.
Yes, it is the Morning Beat rounding out the hour here. And now we're joined. The stars have dropped the subject. Allie and Jarrett, good morning, guys.
We're joined.
Hello. Hello.
Morning, guys.
We're adjoined, conjoined. Rejoined.
Now, in my mind, I just imagine that you are constantly flipping between websites and TV programs, just staying on top of everything that's happening in the world at all times.
I don't know if that's true. I've been disconnected for like the last week while I've been out with journalists, oddly.
Oh, wow.
When do you get suckered in? Is it when someone brings something up and you're like, oh, geez, now I got to research that?
Sometimes, yeah. Someone will be like, oh, my God, did you hear that story about? And I'm like, I'm sorry?
Yes, you know? Of course I did. Hold on one second. Google can tell me everything I need.
But I get push alerts like from news agencies all the time.
Oh, that's smart. Too. That's helpful. Yeah.
But it's also draining. Like, oh my God.
Also, so sometimes they're not relevant. Like, you get a couple good ones and then you get like, is nail polish bad for you?
Yes. Well, yeah, Sunday, like, I got an ABC, I think it was Sunday, I got an ABC news report that Miley Cyrus and Liam Hemsworth had broken
I've
up.
I've gotten a chain.
And I was like, why is this an ABC news push alert? That's
wild
to me.
Yeah, but also, I got it from like ABC, CNN, Washington Post, like all of a sudden my phone was just blowing up, and then it went from Liam and Miley to Liam and Caitlyn Carter to Liam being devastated to Brody trying to be with Josie Canseco. Like
I got
everything
messed you needed
up
from the push alerts.
Yeah, yes. Literally, I was like, I hate this story. I'm not telling it.
What I love about those push alerts is seeing whatever is the last news outlet to pick up the story.
Oh yeah,
like you get all these. It's like CNN,
48
you know,
minutes later.
NPR, yeah, and then like 3 hours later, it's like BuzzFeed.
Where were you?
Did anybody hear about Miley and Liam?
Did you get that one yet?
Do you believe, now, as another lesbian in this room, do you believe that Miley is having a lesbian relationship with Brody Jenner's ex-wife, Caitlyn Carter?
As the other lesbian in the room.
Go ahead, Jared. We talked about this a little bit yesterday, and I think that there are some celebrities in my mind that should just be with women.
Yeah.
And you Miley feel like Cyrus is one of them. I'm like, just be a lesbian. You know what? Just go for it. Especially if you can leave Liam. Like, I'm not somebody who, I told the story yesterday. When I dated, the last guy that I seriously dated was so hot and he was so successful and he like joined the Peace Corps. He was just like the guy that, he would be my dream guy. Like, he was a good person. He was funny.
Sounds like
he,
my dream
yeah.
guy.
Yeah, he yeah, was. Like, and he does exactly. like modeling like on like dating apps where they're like, you could meet this guy. It's a
you'll
picture
have,
of
you'll
him.
You'll have to pull him up on Instagram. For
I love that.
Yeah. Jeez.
And I left him to go be with my best friend who screwed me over so badly. And
what's her name?
Danielle.
Danielle,
screw you.
Danielle, screw you.
And so I said, if I could leave him for a girl, like, I know that I'm gay. And for her to leave, like, screw him over so many times, and then to be like, no, and she's, like, so gummy and weird looking. Like,
I feel the same. I think my last guy that I dated, we were together for 5 years. We were, like, a great couple. He was my best friend. He was a guest model. You could see him. He was more famous than me, which is also why I broke up with him. But
this was Enrique Iglesias.
This was Enrique Iglesias. Okay, don't out him like that.
How dare you?
But it is. It's like when you can walk away, you're like, dude, just be with women. And she's young. She's like 25. I think that 25, you shouldn't even be married.
But was this queer baiting? Because the picture was from behind Caitlyn's head. You
there
saw the front
three,
on?
Yes.
Okay.
I was thinking about it yesterday.
Miley Cyrus to go away.
Do you? Like, yeah.
I'm so tired of Miley Cyrus.
Would a new song keep her relevant to you or nothing?
No, I'm so tired of her. Like, I don't think she's interesting. I think she's had some, like, good songs back in the day.
You know what? I kind of can co-sign that.
Yeah, I'm just, like, tired of her. Like, I feel like everything feels so performative. Like, oh, I'm doing this for people to look at me. And, I mean, I get it. I like the Kardashians. Who am I talking about? But I'd look at Miley Cyrus and I'm just like, shut up, girl. Like,
see,
I'm just tired of her.
I disagree because I feel that way about Taylor Swift, where I'm like, get out of my face. I'm done with you being like, so what I me.
Can I say something? I had a photo shoot.
And Miley Cyrus is like, so what I me, but I'm also like dropping a bunch of Molly and really going for it.
Right. But is she dropping Molly? Like, is she? Because she's doing these weird dances now on Instagram also.
Yeah, but Lindsay Lohan does that on Molly. Check that video on Mykonos.
And I don't like Lindsay either.
I think Lindsay Lohan has so much in her system that she doesn't even need it anymore.
It's just residual. Like, she coughs the wrong way and she's like, whoa, rolling again.
I think she's like got residual high, like Snoop Dogg is always high from weight. I think Lindsay Lohan is that kind of person. And probably Miley too.
Yeah. I don't think she'll ever do a clean pee test.
Oh no.
10 years later.
But I'm learning how by watching Euphoria.
Yeah.
The Zendaya show. Yeah, they teach you.
I gotta finish that.
So what are you guys covering today?
We've got so much stuff going on today.
Yeah, well, I mean, Jarrett's been out for a while, so we have a lot
of catching up. Get back to work, Jarrett.
Yeah, we have a lot of catching up to do in the world of politics. All the Democratic candidates were at the Iowa State Fair eating corn dogs.
That was
super
so
awkward.
Weird, holding babies. Very bizarre.
But we're also, for Just the Tip Tuesday, in light of Jarrett's being out yesterday, we're going to discover
how you can spot when
someone is faking an illness.
Oh, boy. So I came back from Miami. I was at a conference all week, and we had like 4,100 people.
Was that conference called the White Party?
No.
I know, Miami. You got us started out wrong with
but
Miami.
First of all, Miami in August, like, why would you do that to yourself? It was 7,000% humidity outside. But there were 4,100 black journalists there, and like, you spend the whole time going, hey, how's it going? Mm-hmm. It's so good to see you. And by Friday, my voice was like really going. And then by the time I got back on Sunday, I was like, there's no way I'm going to be able to do 4 hours of a radio show.
Yeah.
Right.
So I'm back. We'll be talking about all that.
We'll discuss on whether that's true.
All right, well, we have a good show tomorrow for you guys.
We're actually going to talk about what kind of dater are you?
Yeah.
Ooh.
What kind of dater?
Yeah,
like
some
if
people,
you were single. Like,
some people want to be really close really quickly, and they want multiple texts all day long. Some people are more like, you know, hit me up a couple times a week. I'll see you when I can.
Or the begging question, do you sleep on the first date? Mm. Do you hook up on the first date?
Well, doesn't everyone now?
We totally have to talk about this when we cross with you guys
tomorrow.
Well,
don't copy us.
I love it. No, I'm talking with you guys.
Oh, my God.
We'll talk about this when we come in with you guys tomorrow.
Yeah, well, we want to know. We want to hear from you. I have my thoughts about Poppy Rodriguez.
And what kind of dater you are.
Oh, my God. What kind of are you?
I'm a little bit more lesbian than I'd like to admit to.
Okay.
Yeah. So you attach?
We attach quickly.
You leech?
Yeah.
I'm the same way. I just want to breathe you in.
Yeah. By the time you get me naked, chances are, like, you're stuck with me.
Also, like, the minute that Lisa texts me back, not even our first date, just on social media, I was like, oh, my God, we're together. This is so exciting. Like, she was like, hi. And I was like, oh, you guys, I'm in a relationship.
All right, that's it for us. Drop the Subject is next. Jared and Allie, never enough time with you guys, but we'll see you tomorrow.
Have a great day, guys. Bye.
Bye.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.